Merry Christmas. I'm so thankful that you're here tonight. It's great to have all of our Abiding Love Bible Church folks with us. And so thankful we get to celebrate Christmas together tonight. And I want to begin with a prophecy in Isaiah as we think about Jesus, what he's done for us. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. It says, "And again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as the heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test.' And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, and when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, for before the boy knows how to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house days as such have not come since the days Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria.'" All right, I'm going to stop there. So we have this little story here about King Ahaz. He was a king in Judah after Israel had already been carried off into captivity. And there were two neighboring nations that had risen up against him and were going to destroy him, and he was scared. And so Isaiah comes to him to give him a prophecy, and actually a prophecy of encouragement, a prophecy of deliverance. And then he wants the king to trust God, that God is actually going to deliver Judah. The king doesn't want to trust God, and so he's struggling to trust God because he's really afraid. So Isaiah says, look, just ask for a sign. Let the Lord give you a sign so that you will trust him. And Ahaz even refuses to let God give him a sign. And this is really just a situation where his mind was made up to disobey the Lord before the prophet ever confronted him. And so he refuses to ask for a sign. And in a way, I'm glad he did, because in response to his refusal to ask for a sign, Isaiah says, okay, God's going to give you a sign anyway. And that's where we have verse 14, the beautiful promise of Emmanuel, where the prophet Isaiah tells this man, look, this baby's going to be born, Emmanuel, and before this baby even grows up, the land of the kings you dread will be destroyed. In other words, I'm still going to bring deliverance. You're just not going to get to enjoy it. But there will be this child, this Emmanuel. Okay, so the most spectacular thing about this prophecy and this promise was in the name. The prophet says he's going to give you this child, there'll be this child born, and the name of the child will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. So that doesn't seem like a big deal in some ways to Christians. We sort of take the omnipotence of God for granted, and we think, well, God's everywhere, so maybe he's with me as well. But it was actually a glorious promise. This promise of Emmanuel, God with us. And to see the promise in all of its glory, you really have to go all the way back to the garden. And for all of human history, up until this time, when Isaiah is speaking to King Ahaz, there had only been two human beings who had ever enjoyed the fullness of the presence of God. And that was Adam and Eve when they were in the garden. Adam and Eve were perfect people in a perfect world who had a perfect relationship with God. And God, it says, the scripture says that God used to walk with them in the cool of the day, something we can hardly even wrap our brains around. But they had the fullness of God with them. God was able to be with them, love them freely, enjoy them completely. And Adam and Eve knew the presence of God with them in a spectacular and unprecedented way. And so, we know the story. The story ends badly. The man and the woman rebelled against God, and God cast them from his presence. And that started this whole line of human history in which the presence of God was absent. So, now you say, well, I read the Bible and God shows up all the time. Yes, it's true that, say, Abraham had a relationship with God and he experienced God. But God wasn't with Abraham. Abraham would have encounters with God. He would make sacrifices and God would come down, but then God would also depart. And he wasn't able to enjoy the presence of God with him. Moses, even. Moses probably, other than Adam and Eve, enjoyed the presence of God more than any other human being. The scripture says that Moses used to pitch a tent out in the wilderness, and there he would meet with God, and he would talk with God face to face. He saw God on the mountain when he was getting the Ten Commandments and the instructions for the tabernacle, and God showed him his glory when he hid him in the cleft of the rock. But, see, God would come to Moses, but then he would depart. God made a place where Moses could come to God and spend time with God, but Moses would leave the tent and he would put a veil over his face and he would leave the presence of God. So, see, this was the nature of the presence of God. No one was experiencing God with them. Some people, and then when we talk about Moses, we'll just keep going because so God told Moses to build a tabernacle. And what was the whole purpose of the tabernacle? Well, some people say it was to offer sacrifices, but that really wasn't the purpose of the tabernacle. The purpose of the tabernacle was so that God could dwell among his people, so that God could be with his people. Now, say, well, see, God, that's God with us. But actually, it wasn't God with us, because if you know, I mean, it was, but in a way, it also wasn't, because if you know anything about the tabernacle was constructed of sort of three areas that became progressively holy, and the Holy of Holies was a place where only the high priest could go. Only once a year, the high priest could go into the presence of God. And for every other person, there was a huge sign, basically, that said, "Do not enter." You couldn't go into the presence of a normal person. Couldn't go into the presence of God. They went at their peril. The Holy of Holies was restricted, and the way to the holy place was always barred. Do you remember what happened when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden? He placed a cherubim, which is like an angel, with a flaming sword to guard the way. See, really, from the time of Adam and Eve all the way up through all of human history, the way to the holy place has been restricted. It's been barred. There's like an angel with a flaming sword who's keeping everyone out of the presence of God. Effectively, the high priest, like I said, could go once a year, and Moses could go in temporarily and so on. But the unrestricted free access to God was sacrificed effectively from the point of human history forever, the day that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. When man and the woman sinned, intimate fellowship with God was the cost, and the presence of God was the price. And so you might think God is being mean, just not being willing to let people come into his presence. And you'd be completely wrong, because God loves his people and he cares for them. And it was his compassion, and it was his mercy, and it was his grace that kept the people from coming into his presence. Because God is holy, and men are sinful creatures. And if sinful men had come into the presence of a holy God, the holiness of God would have consumed them. And so it was for their own protection that God did not allow people to enjoy his presence, to come into his presence. He wasn't being cruel. And so he wasn't excluding us from his presence as much as he was protecting us. So this is the background of the Isaiah prophecy. After generation after generation after generation of people being separated and cut off and excluded from the presence of God, Isaiah says to this disobedient king, a child is going to be born whose name is Emmanuel, and that name means God with us. What Adam and Eve had forfeited in the garden, God was effectively promising to this rebellious king that a child would be born that would be the fulfillment, named Emmanuel, that would be the fulfillment of God with us. And that is exactly what happened on Christmas so long ago. If you still have your Bible open, you can turn to chapter 1, verse 20. And here's what it says. I'll begin reading in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So in the fullness of time, when God was ready to solve this problem of the separation of God and man, he did it by sending his own son. And Jesus came to save us from our sins. And see, wasn't that the problem all along? The problem wasn't the desire of God to be with us, to love us, to enjoy us, to have fellowship with us. And in some ways, it wasn't even our problem. Even we longed, in a way, for that relationship. It wasn't that there wasn't a wanting. It just simply wasn't possible. And why wasn't that relationship possible? Why couldn't God enjoy the presence of man and man enjoy the presence of God? The problem, the reason why we couldn't enjoy presence was because of sin, and sin had to be dealt with. And so that is exactly what Jesus came to do. Jesus came, born in a manger, born to be God with us, to fulfill the promise of God with us. And so, having lived a perfect life, he died a perfect death on the cross. He shed his blood for us as the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. By dying for our sins, he was saving us from our sins. He was actually purifying for himself a people who are his very own. He was making it possible for sinners to have a relationship with God, but no longer as sinners, as saints. He saved us from our sins so that we could have this perfect relationship with God again. On the cross, effectively, Jesus took down the do not enter sign so that now, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can come into the presence of God and enjoy Him. But Jesus didn't just give us access to the presence of God. He did more, because what does His name mean? Emmanuel, which doesn't mean us with God. What does it mean? It means God with us. And man, that's what sort of blows my mind. As Christ was giving us access to God, He was at the same time giving God access to us. You know, it's mind-blowing but true. Because of Jesus, God is with us. I don't have to come to church to worship God. I don't have to, as much as I want you to do it, I don't even have to open my Bible and pray to worship God. Why? Because I don't have to go to God. Precisely. Because that's not what Emmanuel means. It means He comes to me. Don't you see how awesome that is? You just open your heart, open your mind, open your life. There's a God who wants you, sacrificed everything so He can have a relationship with you, and He comes to you. This is our Emmanuel. Man, we better not waste this incredible gift that we have this Christmas. Through faith in Christ, we experience the presence of God, not once in a while when we go to Him, but all the time as He comes to us. Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. You may not understand it, but please believe it. He's coming to you. He's drawing near to you. He's opening the way for perfect, sweet, intimate fellowship with Himself through Jesus Christ. So it's because of Jesus we can enjoy the presence of God all the time. We can be with God because God has come to us. God is with us. In Christ, God is with us. Let's enjoy Him this Christmas. Let's pray together. Man, Jesus, stand in awe of what You accomplished for us in the cross. Thank You that You weren't satisfied to be separated from us. Thank You that You loved us so much that You were willing to die so that, not just so that we could come to You, but so that You could be with us. Man, help us to open our minds and our hearts to the glories of Emmanuel. Thank You for indwelling us with Your Holy Spirit every second of every day. Thank You that we don't face one thing, one trial, one temptation, one struggle, one sadness, one joy, one victory. We don't face a single one of those alone because You abide with us. Thank You for being our Emmanuel, and we praise You and we love You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Y'all have an amazing Christmas.